The title I originally gave to this was A Winter Holiday Reflection. But as I thought about this season and began to work on this project, it soon became clear to me that perhaps I was starting in the wrong place, or the wrong time at any rate. I grew up in South Africa, in the Southern Hemisphere, half a world away. The Christmas holiday season was hardly a wintry affair. It is high summer on the Southern African highlands, hot and dry, with occasional wild lightning and thunderstorms that blast through the area, sometimes leaving several inches of hailstones on the ground. Hailstones that melted and disappeared within a few hours as the bright sunlight returned in the wake of the storm. I grew up Jewish. Long before the commercialism of Christmas had succeeded in co-opting Hanukkah, we always celebrated Hanukkah, but it was not considered a major holiday. There were certainly no days off from school or work. We almost always went to my grandparents' home for the first and last days of the holiday, and we tried to make it for some of the in-between days. We lit the candles on the menorah, played a few games together, and had a snack and a drink. In the tradition of the old country, my cousins and I would receive Hanukkah gelt from our grandfather. It was always a single coin worth about a quarter. That was the extent of gift giving. When I was 9 or 10 years old, I was invited to a Christmas Eve celebration at our next door neighbor's house. They had kids my age and we had been friends for quite a few years. In the middle of their living room was a large pine tree decorated with ornaments and fake snow. There were colorfully wrapped presents under the tree and on the mantle over the empty fireplace, it was midsummer after all, was a display of the nativity with the infant Jesus, the angel, the shepherds, the wise men, the cows and goats and sheep. I felt very out of place. This was an alien culture to me. But I was totally amazed that I was given a gift. And it wasn't even my birthday. It was a beautiful book about the mysteries of the deep ocean. And I wondered if there was some mysterious religious connection between the baby Jesus and the giant squid. Which brings me somehow to my next experience of Christmas. I was studying at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. It was a few years after the 1967 war in which Israel had taken control of the West Bank, which of course includes the town of Bethlehem. So on Christmas Eve, several of us decided to go to Bethlehem for midnight mass at the Church of the Nativity, one of the oldest churches in Christendom, with floor mosaics dating back to the Emperor Constantine. When we arrived in Manger Square, that's what they call it, Manger Square, which is this huge open square in front of the church, we found that the service was for invited guests only, but that the proceedings would be broadcast into the square and projected onto one of the giant stone walls that bordered the area. So we wandered around, my friends and I, and several thousand hippies who had drifted in from far and wide. We carried long white taper candles and munched on roasted chestnuts bought from vendors in the square. A stage had been set up in front of the church, and all through the evening until the start of the service, choral groups from around the world sang carols to the milling and increasingly mellow crowd. The Bethlehem post office was open, so I decided it would be a nice thing to send a card to someone from this most important place. Problem was that I could not remember the address of any of my Christian friends. So I decided to send the card to an address I knew well, but had no idea who the occupants of the house were. And that is to the family that had bought the home that I had grown up in South Africa. Why not? I felt it would be meaningful to them to get this mystery card out of the blue, postmarked in Bethlehem on Christmas Day. My next memory of Christmas was about 12 years later. Laurie and I had been married a few years, and our daughter Jess was 20 months old. We arrived on Christmas morning at Laurie's parents' home. Jess was the first grandchild, and you can imagine what happened. When we walked into the living room, we found the tree all lit up and surrounded with piles of presents. Jess surveyed the scene, then, in a mixture of amazement, joy, and I like to believe real insight said loudly, "Too much." Which brings me to here and now. Looking back, it seems like a very zigzag road from Hanukkah gelt and streets and sea creatures to roasted chestnuts and anonymous postcards from Bethlehem to the generosity of family and a child's delight. But somehow it all hangs together. Could I say that all these experiences were going in the same direction, pointing me to this community in Nashville? One's life has only one direction, the one you are on. At millions of points along the way, events happen, changes occur, decisions are made, consciously or not, and we move on. What we have is what we have done. What we are is what we have experienced. It is good to reflect, to take the time away from every day, and to appreciate the path we travel, and to hold close the people who journey with us.